A nation that truly has no clue, they don't know what they're doing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, oh, you know the thing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your host. My name is Tom Balassis, and we are going to begin this show on somewhat of a somber note. I'm sure all of you are aware of what happened here in Michigan this week. A horrific, horrific story all the way around. I would like to thank Chris. He was the first one, and many others, for checking in on me to make sure my family was okay. Yes, we are fine. We are about 40 to 45 minutes away from Oxford, Michigan, and we were in no danger that day. The high school my son goes to the next day was put in lockdown mode because of a copycat claim. But thank you again, everybody who was looking out for us. We are fine. We are safe from school shootings for now. But I did want to talk about what is going on in our schools. This is getting to be a huge problem. Now, I want to give you a little backstory on the Oxford, Michigan shooting. November 30th, 2021 started off as a normal day for most everybody in this country, and nearly everybody in the Oxford, Michigan high school. Ethan Crumley was a disturbed 15-year-old child. By all intents and purposes, he should not have been in school at that time. His father, on Black Friday, went to a local gun store and picked him out a Ruger handgun. Ethan was all over social media hyping up this gun, which is not a crime. It's not a crime. The problem is that Monday, I believe it was the Monday when the kids went back to school, one of Ethan's teachers caught him looking for ammunition on his phone. Again, not a crime. But the teacher thought enough of it to bring it to the school's attention. And the school got a hold of Ethan's mother, and rather than take care of that issue right now, Ethan's mother, Jennifer, sent him a text. The text stated, LOL, I'm not mad. You have to learn not to get caught. He was looking for ammunition. He apparently liked to hunt. That's not a crime. But I would think as a parent, when the school is pretty concerned about this and seeing how this is not taken lightly in school situations anymore, you would be a little bit more direct with your son. Instead of saying, LOL, I'm not mad, just don't get caught next time. So as I said, James Crumley, Ethan's father, and him purchased the gun on Black Friday. Jennifer Crumley posted to social media a picture of the two with the posting Mother and Son Day testing out his new Christmas present. Again, nothing wrong with this if you're teaching your son to be smart with firearms. Then, on the morning of November 30th, the teacher noticed a note on Ethan's desk, and it had drawings of a gun, a bullet, and a person being shot. There were words to the effect, I don't remember exactly what they were, but they were to the effect that I can't stop these thoughts. Blood will flow, something to that effect. The teacher immediately got a hold of the school administration, who immediately brought Ethan in, called their parents in. Jennifer and James came in to talk to the administration of the school about Ethan's drawing and his prior behavior in school. Both of Ethan's parents basically blew it off. The school told his parents that Ethan needs counseling and he needs to be enrolled in counseling within 48 hours. And here's where the problem starts. Again, Ethan's parents just blew it off. If I had my son, and I know my listeners feel the same way, if my son was drawing pictures of people getting shot, saying, I can't stop these thoughts, blood will flow, you better damn well know that that student and I, or my son, my daughter, whoever it is and I, are going to be having a long, long talk. But here's where the school failed. They let Ethan back to class. So as the parents of Ethan Crumley were leaving the school, basically laughing this off, Ethan Crumley was released to class. Well, on the way to class, he stopped at his locker, went into his backpack, and pulled out his new Christmas present. After everything was done, three people were killed at the moment, with another eight injured, including a 47-year-old teacher. Over the next few days, a fourth student would die, leaving four children dead. And it's all because the parents didn't see the danger, and the school, well, by letting Ethan back to class, it failed to keep its students safe. When we send our children to school, we are putting trust in those administrators, that teacher, and that school staff, that they will do everything in their power to keep our children safe while they are in their care. What happened in Oxford was horrific, as is every single school shooting. They shouldn't happen. Why, in this day and age, we cannot have armed police officers or retired military veterans protecting our children is beyond me. I do not know any parent that wouldn't be more than willing to shell out a couple extra bucks to have their children protected. In order to keep my children safe, I wouldn't mind metal detectors at every entrance in the school. There has got to be a way to keep our children safe in a place that they should be enjoying and they should be learning. They should not have to worry about somebody pulling a gun and firing. And of course, I've seen the posts, I've heard the comments that this is all because of guns. First off, Ethan's parents knew what was going on. Minutes after the shooting started, Jennifer Crumley texted Ethan with a simple text, "No, Ethan, please don't." Ethan's father, James, called 911 shortly after the shooting. The word of the shooting got around and said, "My gun's missing. My son may be responsible for the shooting in Oxford." This is not the gun's fault. This was parents who really didn't have any disciplinary ability with their child. They were afraid to discipline him or didn't know how, or just didn't want to be bothered disciplining their child. He left an unlocked gun box where his child could just walk in to a school with a gun loaded in his backpack and begin his carnage. This isn't a gun problem. This begins as a parenting problem. And the parents have been arrested on manslaughter charges, as they should. And I've heard it said that We've got to get rid of guns because today's society is too violent. Kids are seeing too much violence in video games. That has nothing to do with it. The majority of issues with gun problems are mental health. Bullying in school is so much different. I've heard, "Oh, come on, Tom, bullies have been around for ages." Yes, they have. But bullies of yesterday did not have the range that bullies do today. Back in my day, if a bully wanted to bully you, he had to be in front of you or he had to call you on your phone and you had to pick up and listen to him bully you. In this day and age, we have children who are connected at a moment's notice to whoever they want, even people they don't want to be connected to. These bullies can bully them online. So even after, see, the bullies of my time were powerless after school got out because the people they were bullying were no longer in front of them. They couldn't bully them. But nowadays, all you have to do is click on Facebook, find them, and send them a message. You can friend request them. And listen, I've been through, some of my children have been bullied. And it's horrific. You never want your children to go through that. Now, here's the difference. Ethan Crumley has apparently been bullied. Rather than his parents sit down with that child and tell them how to deal with a bully, they buy him a gun. They coddle him. They don't discipline him. This is the result. I am not sticking up for Ethan Crumley, but I'm telling you right now, most schools take a stance on bullying. And when I say that, I put a stance in bullying in quotes because it's just there for show. I know many parents in other school districts whose kids have been bullied. My children at one point or another have been bullied. If you go to the school, they'll listen, but nothing is done. Ethan Crumley was bullied. Nobody did anything. His parents did not sit him down like I did, like my wife and I did with our children, and told them exactly what is going on. Listen, this kid has no power over you. He's just trying to be cool. Just ignore him and it'll go away. And it does. It does. The only reason bullies exist is because they get a reaction and that makes them look cool in front of everybody else. If you ignore them or you say some, listen, the Cosmic Dreamer when he was younger was bullied. But the Cosmic Dreamer is a smart kid and he can come back with a quick one just like that. So when he's getting bullied, he comes back with a comeback to shut that guy up. Well, they have two options. The bully can come up and try and fight him, and my son's not going to fight him. He's not going to get suspended from school. So he's going to walk away, and that makes the bully look even worse. And you know what? Over time, the bully stopped bullying, and he eventually got to be friendly with my son. You can't always lead to violence. You have to talk to your children. In this day and age, you have to know what your children are doing on a daily basis. You cannot be like Ethan Crumley's parents and just kind of blow everything off. It's not everybody else's fault. You have to be aware of what is going on in your child's life. You have to know who their friends are. You have to know when they're having a bad day and sit them down and say, hey, what's the matter? And they're probably not going to want to talk about it because what child wants to sit there and tell his parents, yeah, I'm getting bullied and nobody likes me. Nobody wants to hear that. But you talk to them, say, hey, is somebody saying things that, you know, are bothering you? And kids are going to want to let that out. And in my case, it's not like the Cosmic Dreamer didn't have friends. He had friends. But his interests were not like all the other kids' interests. His interests were space, quantum theory, things that as an adult are going to make him very successful. And the difference is he wasn't really into sports. He played soccer for a long time growing up and then got to his sophomore year in high school playing soccer. And the coach was horrible, and they were a horrible team. And normally I don't tell my kids to quit on a team, but that team, the whole team quit because of the coach. I don't even know if they were even playing during his junior year because they didn't have enough kids because they kept the coach on. My youngest is the same way. He doesn't care about sports. They're into intellectual things. Now, my daughter is the biggest athlete in the house. She played basketball growing up. She was a cheerleader. She was on the swim team. Every kid's different. But these kids that are the intellectuals, that like the robotics club, today, and even back in my day, I'm not going to deny it, we looked at them as kind of nerds. Holy cow, nerds. I wish I would have been those kids back then. Because every one of those kids, I was thinking, man, that kid's a nerd. He's in robotics. He's on the math club. Come on. Every one of them is extremely successful. And I sat the Cosmic Dreamer down. I sat my son down and I said, listen, high school is literally just a blink of an eye in your life. The goal of high school is to make a couple good friends, learn to socialize with other people, but get good grades so you can move on and be successful in life. And Andrew got it. He understands that. He is an extremely hard worker. He's a senior this year, working probably 35 hours a week. And his job absolutely loves him because he works. He will do anything. And that's, yes, you want your kids to have fun in school. You want your kids to do well in school, and you want them to have friends. But honestly, this school time is a blink of an eye, is just a prelude to who they are. When I was in high school, I had the friends. I was the jock. I didn't give a flying you know what about grades. I was going to play baseball, and I was going to play baseball in the major leagues. It was told to me many, many times, Tom, you don't even bother going to college. If you go to college, you're playing baseball, and you're there 2 years, and boom, you're in the major leagues. That was actually told to me. And you tell that to a 17, 18-year-old kid, you tell them how much they're going to make in probably 4 years. Oh, my gosh. I didn't give a crap about school. School was a 7-hour social day. I was not disrespectful. I was very polite to everybody. But during my senior year of baseball, I blew out my rotator cuff. And as a pitcher, well, back in 1990, they didn't have surgery to fix that. You were done. And I slowly realized that, whoa, I need to do something with my life because my life's plan is now completely altered. And I struggled for years and years and years because I didn't have the education I needed. I didn't know what I wanted. My whole life was revolving around me playing baseball. After my senior year, I was so depressed. I never even went to college. I just got a job at a video store and just kind of chilled out, hung out with my friends, partied. Did everything I couldn't do in high school because I didn't want to get busted partying and lose my chance at a scholarship. Well, my chance at a scholarship was then gone. So I did some pretty stupid things. I partied and I just didn't care. And then one day I woke up and I was probably about 24, 25 years old. And I'm like, I got to do something with my life. And it was at that point, and it took a while. I had to get divorced and meet my current wife who literally just, I mean, honestly, she slapped me into place. My wife completely changed who I am. And not that I'm this extremely successful man now, but I'm able to support my family. I've got a good job. I've got a boss that respects me. And what I do now, I do it very well. It just takes a while. My son, Andrew, the Cosmic Dreamer, if you've listened to the show for a while, you may remember him being on the show for a while. If he stays the course, he will be successful. I'm very proud of the fact that my children not only are hard workers, but every single person that meets them tells me how respectful, how polite, and how good of people they are. That's the job of a parent. The job of a parent is not to coddle your children. Oh, I don't want to discipline them. You have to. A coworker and I were just talking this past Friday about how nobody spanks their kids anymore. My God, when I was younger, I can't tell you how many yardsticks, spatulas, whatever, were broken over my behind. And because of the discipline I received at home, that was shown to anybody else I met. Because if I disrespected anybody else, my gosh, adult, child, whatever, my parents would have my ass. I would have a yardstick broke over my ass and they'd move to a spatula and that eventually would be broken over my ass. Guaranteed. But you know what? That happened once and I never did it again. Because I knew if I disrespected somebody, I'm getting a whooping. And I don't like those whoopings. That's what we're missing in today's society. I remember when I was in middle school, one of my friends didn't get disciplined at home, and he backtalked to a teacher, told a teacher to F off in middle school. That child was sent down. That buddy of mine was sent down to the office to the principal. Did you tell Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so to F off? Yeah, I did. They had it coming to him. Those were his exact words. All right, stand over my desk and bend over, was what the principal said. Pulled out a paddle, which is a wooden paddle that had holes drilled in it. And he got 3 whoops of that paddle. In school, can you imagine nowadays a principal smacking a child? Oh my God, first off, that principal would lose his job. Secondly, he'd be brought up on charges. Third, he'd be ostracized and never be able to live in that community again. That's what we need. Call it corporal punishment. Call it what you want. Ethan Crumley is a prime example of the failures of the parental system in this country. We have lost the desire, the ability, the want to discipline our children. This is why we have a generation of adults that are living at their parents' home that need safe spaces when anything goes bad and can't comprehend the sacrifices that the older generations have given them to live the life they live today. This is the end result. This is the everyone gets a trophy generation. When I was younger, when most of my listeners were younger, if you finished second place, you know what? You got to watch the first place team get the trophies. Not everybody got a medal. Not everybody got a trophy. In order to get a trophy, you had to work harder, play smarter, and be better than all the other teams. And if you weren't, you got to watch somebody else enjoy being a winner. Nowadays, well, he tried hard. What does that get you? It gets you nothing. Except if you were born in the generation of the late 90s, early 2000s, you can't lose. The kids today in school, it amazes me. My kids in school, they can turn in homework. It doesn't matter if they didn't turn in the first assignment of the semester. As long as it's turned in by the end of the semester, they get credit for it. We are setting our kids up for failure. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the left, and it's just this mentality that everybody deserves a prize. Everybody's a winner. No. No, if you're not a winner, You're a loser. If you didn't finish first, you didn't win. That's what we need to get back to. And it may sound harsh. A lot of you may be saying, oh, come on, Tom, they're only kids. Well, guess what? In life, you have to learn that you do not get everything that you want. Just because you go out there, you could be the worst team, the worst player on the worst team, but you're getting a medal. What incentive is there for you to do any better? When I first started playing baseball, I started late. I think I started when I was 11 or 12. Our team sucked. We were 0-12 for the first 2 years, and I hated it. Honestly, we had no business being on the field with those other teams, because I think the closest game we had, we lost by like 11 runs. Everything else was a mercy rule, mercy rule, mercy rule. And my dad was the coach at the time, and he pushed us, he pushed us, he pushed us. And by my third year, we were shooting for a championship in that league. And then as you get older, you move up to what we called the senior division. We just absolutely destroyed that division. Absolutely destroyed it. You know why? You only get better when you play against people that are better than you. You only get better when you practice and you want to get better. What's the incentive of getting better when I'm the worst team in the league, but look at the first place team got a medal. I got the same damn medal. What is the incentive? And that goes throughout your whole life. Hey, I'm here for the interview. What do you mean I didn't get it? They can't comprehend losing. And when they lose, they act out. The role of the parent has been lost in this country, and it needs to come back. And I get it. When I was growing up, you could survive with the father or the mother working as a sole provider. You can't do it now. But that doesn't mean you still can't be a part of your child's life. You talk to your child every day. Every day, have dinner. And every day, ask, what happened? What did you learn today? What did you like about today? What didn't you like about today? Be a parent. Don't be their best friend, but be a parent. From what I'm reading and what I can understand, Ethan Crumley's parents were not that. They were his best friend. They were there to coddle him. Yes, it sucks when your child gets bullied. It's horrible. You feel horrible for your child. But instead of coddling them and giving them anything they want, so it gets to the point when they don't get what they want, they act out. Talk to them. Tell them how to deal with it. If you don't know how to do that, go to family counseling. There are people that can help. Now I'm going to end this segment with these idiots that are just spouting off about gun control. Again, this is not a gun control issue. This is a parenting issue. Why was that gun safe unlocked? Why did that child have access to that gun? It's a mental health issue. The signs were there. The parents nor the school did anything. And I've had people come back to me and I've read the comments that said, well, why does a 15-year-old even have a gun? Ladies and gentlemen, depending on where you are in the country, things are different. Here in Michigan, we own guns because you know why? We hunt. We hunt a lot. Ethan Crumley loved hunting. A handgun, I guess, could be used to hunt squirrel, rabbits. It can be used to hunt quail, grouse, pheasants. It's not just for self-defense. You see, those of you in the big city, you don't understand the mentality of how it is here in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, in all of these other northern countries where hunting. I mean, where I live, November 15th is literally a holiday. Most schools shut down because everybody's hunting for deer. That's when the first day of firearm season takes place. With that being said, it has been said that on November 15th, Michigan has one of the largest standing armies in the world. And what they do is they take into account how many people are in the woods with firearms. We have one of the largest armies in the world at that point. And the same could be said for Minnesota and Wisconsin, but you never hear, or you very rarely hear about deaths by firearm in the woods. And why is that? Because most hunters know about gun safety. They have gone through gun safety classes, or more importantly, an elder has told them and shown them and taught them how guns work and how you use a gun. Parenting needs to come back. That's the whole point of this segment. But before I leave this segment, I just have to talk about those that are using this as a political ploy. Gun control. I had one person message me right after this. You know, I hope your family's okay. Not that that's a big deal, but this person obviously listens to the show, and I thank them for doing it. But they're obviously anti-Second Amendment. And their comment was, hey, look, here's another Kyle Rittenhouse. Let's see if he gets off of this charge. And my response to that was the most ridiculous, insensitive comment I have ever heard. You had three people, at the time there were three, three young children that were gunned down while they were doing what they do every day at school. And you want to make this a political post. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what's wrong with this country, both left and right. Everything has to be political. Nobody can look past the point that this is beyond political. This is a horrific situation that happened. And it does happen. The only way to fix this is to actually stop bullying in school. If you are bullying children in school, you get the book thrown at you. Because if you don't, this is what it leads to. You need to stop and look at the mental health issues of anybody involved in a mass shooting. There is a serious lack of mental health help in this country. And lastly, you don't think these children of ours know what is going on in the world, know the hatred between the left and the right. We need to stop it. We need to stop the hatred. We need to stop the left calling everybody a racist, the right just refusing to bow to anything the left has to say. We need to come together as it was when I was growing up. You had Democrats. You had Republicans when I was growing up. But you know what? They got stuff done because they did it for the betterment of the people, the betterment of the country. There's no longer any chance of that ever happening because the only thing that matters is the power of the party. Power of the party and how much money am I going to get from it? Everything else be damned. It's not our issue. This is being perpetuated by the politicians and, more importantly, the media. There was once a time in this country where we could look past the lies of the government. And the media, they didn't have an agenda. They just told you the truth. We need to get back to that time. And until we do, we're going to be hurting as a nation. I ask every one of my listeners to say a prayer for all of the families affected, even Ethan Crumley's. Everybody needs prayers. I couldn't imagine what it would be like for the families of those who have perished to go into the holiday season without their child. I can't imagine that. Say a prayer for those families. Say a prayer for Ethan Crumley. Yes, he did a horrific thing, and he's going to be thrown the book. He's got terrorism charges. I mean, he's being tried as an adult, as he should be. This is the result of a system failing him. I am not condoning what this 15-year-old child did. In no way, shape, or form am I condoning this. But until this country realizes that we need to talk about mental health, we need to get involved in mental health, this will be a continuation. This will happen more times than we want. There is no reason a child should go to school and not come home. But it happens more often than I would like to believe. My heart and my prayers and my thoughts go out to these families. Be a parent to your child. You are essentially the only one that can teach these children from right and wrong. It's time we become parents so we can stop things like Oxford from happening. Take your children, hug them, tell them you love them. As if November 30th hasn't showed us anything, it's shown us that no day is expected. We are not guaranteed any extra days. Tell everyone you love them. Hug them. Kiss them. Let them know that you are their world. Because there are four parents in Oxford, Michigan that today can never do that again. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back. Hey, this is Tom Velasquez, host of the Paranormal Patriot. If you have an event, a book, or anything you want to promote on this show, all you need to do is contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Contact me, let me know what it is you want to promote, and send me a 30-second to 1-minute audio clip, and I will promote it, and I will promote it for free of charge. All you have to do is contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, if you have an event, if you have a book or anything that you would like to promote on this show, I feel it is my obligation to do it for you for no charge. I want to give back to the podcasting community that has done so much for me. Contact me at ghostseeker4. That is ghostseeker4@charter.net. Send me a 30-second to 1-minute audio clip of what you're promoting, and I'll put it on the show. ghostseeker4@charter.net.
The stuff.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Before we start the next segment, just know that all the bumper music you hear can be downloaded from Jamendo.com, or if you want the file of our music, Multiple Myself and Tommy V, just send me an email, and I'll send you the file, and you can download it, and you can play it to your heart's content. Jamendo.com. is where I get most of my music for the bumper music in and out of the commercials. And it is a great place to find independent, up-and-coming artists. So to end the show, we're going to talk about, what did you think? Omicron. Did you think anything else? Omicron variant of coronavirus. You know, back in 2020, my family and I were going to go to Mexico to basically spend some family time and enjoy the sun, enjoy the warmth in the middle of winter here in Michigan. It was my daughter's senior trip. And that got screwed over. And then we said, okay, we're going to go down to Florida in 2021. We're going to enjoy the sun, the warmth. Well, it wasn't really warm in Florida at the end of March, early April, and everybody contracted coronavirus, and yours truly here ended up in ICU almost dying of coronavirus because I was in Florida. And it really wasn't Florida, it was just we were around people that had already contracted it and were essentially shedding the virus. No disrespect to them, it wasn't their fault. This is what happens. If I would have taken my ivermectin at the time, I didn't even think of bringing it on the trip, we would have been fine. So now, in April of 2022, we have a trip planned to go back to Mexico, and it's essentially going to be my son and my daughter's senior trip. I don't know if we're going. I really don't, because the day after we planned that trip and we booked that trip, what came out? Omicron. Omicron variant came out of South Africa. Israel shut their borders. The United States said, we are restricting travel here to and fro from areas of South Africa. And other countries followed suit. And I couldn't, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to lose out on this trip. What is going to happen to all this money that I just spent? I'm thinking by April of 2022, there's going to be no travel anywhere. If I want to cross state lines, I'm going to have to produce either a vaccination or a negative COVID test. So we learned this week that Omicron is here in the States and everybody is freaking out. The president is changing travel plans. The president is putting new restrictions on everything. In Germany, if you're unvaccinated, you aren't going anywhere unless it's essential. If it's the doctor or the grocery store, other than that, you're not going anywhere. The world has just lost its collective mind with Omicron. But yet, the South African doctor that found this variant is perplexed because nations all over the planet are absolutely going crazy. As I said, Israel closed its borders. The United States has restricted travel to South Africa. But if you look at it, Dr. Angelique Coetzee, I think that's how you pronounce her name, Coetzee, She's the one that discovered the variant, and that was on November 25th, 2021. Coetzee told reporters that one of the biggest hospitals in South Africa, it only has one patient who is COVID positive on a ventilator. And there has been no confirmation that Omicron is the cause. As a matter of fact, Coetzee says the hype that has been created currently out there in the media and the worldwide doesn't correlate with the clinical picture. Coetzee says, although the coronavirus has mutated, it is more transmissible. Yes, we and the doctor will give you that. It is more transmissible. But the symptoms are much milder. But this is something that you're not hearing on the mainstream media. You are hearing that Omicron is here. California, Minnesota, Colorado, it's here. Oh my God, it's the end of the world. But nowhere in those articles is it stating that the symptoms are mild. You might have a mild cold. You might have a little cold on there. But you had the Omicron. So therefore, we're restricting travel. We are changing. We're closing borders because of this. And let the fear-mongering begin. There are false articles out there. False. I'm going to tell you false articles out there claiming that children under 5 years old, they're being hospitalized with COVID due to the Omicron variant. They have no way to test for the Omicron variant. For the children that actually get COVID, their symptoms are essentially a cold. But yet we're going to vaccinate. We're going to mandate vaccinations. We're going to want vaccinations for these children. And that is even after former Pfizer executive Dr. Michael Yeadon told Real America's Voice in a recent interview that children are 50 times more likely to be killed by the COVID shot than by the virus itself. In my opinion, and this is going to piss a lot of people off, but in my opinion, if you have got your less than 12-year-old to toddler inoculated, vaccinated against COVID, that's a form of child abuse. We have no idea. They have actually said, we have no idea what's going to happen, what the long-term effects are. We have to inject these children and then find out. Nobody does their research. Everybody just sits back and thinks, I just need to do what's best. It's the fear-mongering. The government has placed a veil of fear over everyone. And those who have they have no spine. They have no way of controlling their fear mechanism. They're getting the vaccines. They're just, I'm a good little soldier. I'm doing what I'm told. I'm going to make everybody safe. But those of us who read between what's going on, we can see what's going on. These vaccines, they don't work. They do not work. The Omicron virus, listen. They're telling us that the children are now infected. Why do you think so? It's because we can get the children vaccinated. Why do they want the children vaccinated? Children throughout this whole course of this quote-unquote pandemic have not been affected by this. But all of a sudden, the Omicron variant has come out, and now the children are severely infected. They're being hospitalized left and right. It's another fear tactic. It's another lie perpetuated by the governments of the world and the media. Children aren't being affected by this. My daughter has had COVID bad. She was sick. And my issue is, they said, we can do an antibody treatment for you. And she got the antibody treatment. And I read, what was that antibody treatment? It's not been even researched. She's a guinea pig. And that
pisses me off because I thought it was the same antibody treatment that I got in the hospital. Antibody treatment to me is people who have had COVID, have survived, they have the antibodies, we draw blood from them, we extract the blood, just leave the antibodies and insert them intravenously into a person with COVID, just like it happened to me. But no, my daughter is now a test subject, and I am beyond pissed because this is the whole point why I didn't want any of my children to be vaccinated, nor I to be vaccinated, because we don't know what the long-term effects are going to be. I worry. My father-in-law is the same way. And the difference is my daughter had him intravenously. She had an IV. And she's feeling better after a day. My father-in-law had multiple shots just under the skin of the stomach. Now, I'm not a doctor. But if you're going to input, if you're going to insert antibodies into your body, it's got to go through the bloodstream. So for you to insert them just below the surface of the skin is a waste of time. It's not, it's just, the body's just going to absorb it and it's not going to do anything. Listen, Omicron is, as it stands right now, it's nothing. It's a variant that gives you mild symptoms. Some of us might have cold-like symptoms. Some of us may just brush it off. From what it sounds like, we have worked. We have played with much, much worse. But the media and our government is going to make this thing 10 times worse than it really is. I don't believe the reports that 5 and under children are being hospitalized because of Omicron, because there's no way to test for Omicron right now. The first patient in America that contracted the quote-unquote Omicron, if they're able to determine that, was fully, and I mean vaccinated with boosters, boosters, boosters. He was the first one. How's that vaccine working out for all of you? I am so absolutely tired of hearing how the unvaccinated are just absolutely wreaking havoc on the COVID scene across America and across the world. We are being lied to again. The government realizes that the children in this country are not being vaccinized in the manner that they thought they would. So what do? They take Omicron and they hype it up as this, oh my God, it's a new variant. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be deadly. And then you have USA Today, CNN, MSNBC. You have them release these articles saying in South Africa, 5-year-old and younger children are hospitalized with COVID when that's not the case. Never during this COVID crisis has a child ever had any more than cold-like symptoms. And that is the case with Omicron. The doctor who found this variant is just scratching her head going, what the hell is going on? This gives you mild symptoms. It's a cold. There's nothing to worry about, but countries are shutting their borders. There's flight restrictions to South Africa. Yes, it may be more transferable. If you've been vaccinated or if you have never had COVID, you may have a higher risk of getting the Omicron variant. But if you get the Omicron variant, thank your lucky stars because it's mild. If you've had COVID, you don't have to worry about it. But the government or the media doesn't want to put that out there because that just totally destroys their whole story about how deadly COVID is. It is 27 times less deadly to the people who have had COVID. My daughter, who was in Arizona when everybody else in my family and all our friends received COVID due to vaccinated people in Florida. That is the trip that ended up with me in the hospital fighting for my life. She didn't get COVID. She just got COVID. And she doesn't feel good. She got the antibody treatment and she's feeling much better after a day. It still pisses me off that this is not the antibody treatment that I received that was literally people who have had COVID. They've given their blood. They extracted the blood, left the antibodies. That is what I received. And that is what the mononuclear or whatever the hell they call it, antibody system or antibody treatment is being called. Well, it is in a test phase. So now I've got to worry about what this is going to do to my daughter and my father-in-law because he got it. But my daughter chose to have it enter through an IV. And within a day, she felt a million times better. And you know what? When I had COVID, the nurse was in my room all night because they didn't expect me to live through the night. They came in the next day, gave me an antibody treatment. And with that, the day after I received the antibody treatment, I could tell the difference. I was still winded. I still didn't feel good, but I felt much better than I have. I just talked to my father-in-law. He had 6 shots just under the skin of his stomach. He feels no better. And the first thought that came into my mind is, well, of course, these antibodies need to be in your bloodstream. Again, I'm not a doctor, but I've done a lot of research. I've done a lot of reading. I know how this stuff works. And from everything I've seen, Omicron is an actual lesser variant. Yes, more people are going to get it who have not had COVID. If you've had the vaccine or if you have not had COVID, you are going to get Omicron. Accept it. Just like I told my daughter. Be happy. Now you have antibodies in your system that your body created. Again, I want you to listen to what I am saying. If you have not had COVID yet, or if you have had the vaccine and its boosters, I really want to make this point driven home. The vaccine is not going to stop the Omicron virus. But those of us who have had COVID, our immune system will stop Omicron. It is about time that this world comes to the conclusion that if you have had COVID, you have the antibodies in your system. And even if they deteriorate over time, your body's immune system, which has been absolutely infallible, it has been unstoppable for eons during the course of human existence, will still be that way with COVID. For those of you who are vaccinated, and I don't want to disparage you, you've made your choice, I get that, but you are at higher risk because the vaccine actually dampens your immune system. It hurts your immune system. It doesn't produce as many antibodies that those of us who have had COVID. And the number is growing every day. Just get COVID. Everybody's going to get it. It's just like chicken pox. Just get it. Once you get it, you're not going to get it again. And if you do get it again, it's going to be so, so minimal. It's going to be a cold. It might be a minimal flu, but we get it We get it all the time. We always get sick. I didn't see the mask mandates, the lockdowns, the travel restrictions during the flu or even a cold epidemic. The coronavirus is weakening. The media will tell you otherwise. The governments around the world will tell you otherwise. You need to listen to the people in charge. And that is the doctor that found this variant that says the symptoms are really mild. I don't understand what the panic is for. The panic is to keep control over the people. If you are wearing masks alone in your car, if you are getting vaccinated and getting the boosters after you know that they don't work, you're a puppet to the system. If you are stopping and saying, wait a minute, I've already had COVID. My immune system is going to work for me. Listen, I've been standing in my daughter's room talking to her at length. How you feeling? When I know she had COVID, you know why? Because my immune system, it knows what COVID is. If you've had the vaccine, it's looking for a specific spike protein. That spike protein has manipulated and has variated, hence the variants. If you had the vaccine and you haven't had COVID, your body is looking for one particular variant of that coronavirus. It's letting everything else go through. That's why you see so many vaccinated with booster people sick. Because it's only looking for one variant, or maybe two. It's not looking for the Delta variant. It's not looking for the Omicron variant or, well, why not? Let's just put the Mu variant in there. That was supposed to be, oh my God, the Mu variant's here. Where did that go? That came and went without even a whimper. But your body, your body's immune system, it's designed to repel any type of spike protein. And it continues to do that. I stood in my daughter's room knowing she had COVID. She's coughing and sneezing in front of me. My wife and myself. We're like, yep, okay, how you feeling today? Let's talk. We sat in there for minutes, 10, 20 minutes on end talking to her. Not having a worry on our mind. You know why? Because we have an immune system that has not been compromised by a vaccine. So therefore, our immune system, which has received the COVID virus and has beat the COVID virus, it now knows how to protect us against the COVID virus. But with that being said, I'm going to play a little cautious, and we just went out for our annual Christmas shopping trip to the stores around town here to get stocking stuffers and everything for the kids. We came home, and we took a shot of ivermectin. Oh, my God, you're a horse. You're drinking horse medicine. You're going to die. Nope. Ivermectin has saved millions of people around this world. But because it's cheap and hydrochloroquine is cheap, you're not going to hear it. I'm working on getting Dr. Vladimir Zelenko on this show. And once I do, because I will, once I do, and you listen to that show, your life will be forever changed. All right, I'm going to end the show. And what I want you to do, listen, I'm going to play a song to end this show. It's a song by myself, Tommy V. and multiple myself. In it, it's called Coronavirus Christmas 2020. I want you to put it on your playlist because the more I listen to it, the more I think it's really relevant. The start of the songs, it sounds like jet fighters flying across the sky, like the government is taking control. But then Santa, he flies through the sky and he makes everything all right. Because you know what? It's not a bad thing to think like a child. And I think that's what this song represents. The spirit of Christmas. I want to play the whole song, Coronavirus Christmas 2020. You can find it on SoundCloud or Bandcamp. We gave this song away for free. All you have to do is stream it. You can download it for no charge. If you want to give a donation, that's fine, but we aren't expecting it. This was just multiple myself and I saying, this is our song. Because the season has been just terrifying. And we want to make it a little better. The Christmas spirit overrides COVID. And as I say, the beginning of this song sounds like fighter jets flying overhead, maybe a government UN army patrolling your neighborhood. And then Santa comes through and things get better. So I'm going to end this show with multiple myself and Tommy V on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Multiple myselfs. S-E-L-F-S in Tommy V. Download it, listen to it, stream it. Put it on a playlist for Christmas. I guarantee you, the more I listen to this, the more I like this song. This is Coronavirus Christmas 2020. For myself and Tommy V.
I'm Tommy V.
And I'm multiple myself. And we wish you a Merry Christmas.
It's Christmas time, let's all have some holiday cheer. We've gotta make the best of this coronavirus year. Let's spend some time together and we'll have a little fun. Keep your eyes on the future, the corona's almost done.
It's been a hard year on all of us, this much is true. I can't help thinking that I can't wait until this year is finally through. Coronavirus lockdown, riot and election blues, depression and depravity is all we see on the news. Things are gonna get better, this can't last forever. We will get through this if we just learn to work together. We've seen our loved ones suffer and people so lonely. It's bad enough that these problems aren't the one and only, but it seems like every week there's something new. If you're down and out and depressed, I wouldn't blame you, but never fear, there's something on its way. A season so wonderful, it's gonna change your day. Christmas is the cure for the corona blues. Spread the joy of the season and the virus will lead the news.
It's Christmas time, let's all have some holiday cheer. We've gotta make the best of this coronavirus year. Let's spend some time together and just have a little fun. Keep your eyes on the future, corona's almost done.
Santa Claus is coming down the chimney, is he gonna wear a mask? I really didn't think about it, but it's 2020, so I guess it wouldn't hurt to ask. It's been a crazy year, so I guess we just gotta look at it as a little bit of a test. But don't you worry, cause Santa Claus is coming, and what's left is gonna be the best. I hope you've been good, but
Christmas time. Let's all have some holiday cheer. We've got to make the best of this coronavirus year. Let's spend some time together and we'll have a little fun. Keep your eyes on the future. Corona's almost done.
2020's been a year like no other, and I hope we never see one like that again. But one thing lives strong. The Christmas spirit! Santa Claus is coming to town! He's bringing hope! He's bringing peace! He's bringing love! And he's bringing presents for all the good little boys and girls! Merry Christmas, everyone!
I look to the sky with a tear in my eye. The coronavirus makes me think that I'm gonna die. My eyes catch sight of a beautiful light. A sleigh and eight reindeer flying through the night.
Come on, Santa, just bring me some joy. 2020's got me broken like a little toy. You can do it, Santa, you don't have to be coy. Do it for all the girls and boys.
Merry Christmas.